A word from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. But I said, "Ah, Lord God, I really do not know how to speak. I am only a child." The Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone to whom I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, because I am with you and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, "There, I have now placed my words in your mouth. Look, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was looking at some old news articles. There was something that I had saved from 2013 about a little baby named Adeline in Michigan. Adeline's parents were told they were not supposed to keep this pregnancy. Why, there were problems in the womb, and doctors can see that kind of thing. These were the things and the problems that they saw. There were cysts around the brain, intestines outside of her body. Her spine had a hole in it, and her brain was surrounded by fluid. They said their heart would not make it, and her legs would never work. And obviously, her mom and dad were terrified. She said they were bawling their eyes out as the mother wrote the story in the interview. It's very sad for them to go home and wonder what was next. And they missed an appointment with a geneticist, I guess. And then they brought the baby in for a follow-up appointment. And as it turned out, a lot of those problems had gone away. And the only thing that remained was perhaps this baby Adeline was going to have Down syndrome. Well, that's when the parents decided they weren't going to terminate this pregnancy. They carried her to full term, and in the end, it was a healthy baby girl with no problems whatsoever. And that's not the only story that I've heard like that. How about you? Have you heard those stories about someone who is supposed to abort a baby in the womb, and then for some reason or another, it just didn't happen, and then the baby was perfectly healthy, or maybe with some modified health issues, the baby certainly survived? It's kind of a strange world when medical professionals say one thing and people's faith says another thing and people get caught in between. What kind of decisions are people supposed to make? And can God come out making the faithful thing more worthwhile than the medical advice? Well, this week, there were hot topics in the news, including legislation allowing late-term abortion. And it came as kind of a surprise. But you know what else came as a surprise? If you follow a church year of texts, all of a sudden, this sermon text from Jeremiah came up, and it just seems kind of uncanny that God brings that topic in the news and his word together this morning. A lesson about life in the womb. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in our text, and he tells Jeremiah that he formed him for a very special purpose. He was going to go out and he was going to be a prophet. And Jeremiah actually argues with God. We see this happen from time to time. We've got Moses sort of resisting God, saying actually four or five different arguments why he shouldn't be the one to let God's people go and proclaim that message. We see Zechariah around Advent, Christmas time, when he's told about John the Baptist, he sort of wrestles and argues with God. And here we have Jeremiah saying, I'm too young. God, you can't choose me. We kind of assume he's something like 20 years old at the time. How is he going to go and talk to all the rabbis and all the priests and all the people? So many of them had more experience than wee little Jeremiah. Must have felt so insignificant. And it's almost like God preempted that argument, because you know what he says? God seems to preempt that argument by saying, I know how young you are. In fact, I saw you before you were even formed in the womb. God had a purpose for Jeremiah even before he was a thought, even before he was a twinkle, even before anyone out there might confer personhood on Jeremiah. God knew that this was going to be his prophet, this Jeremiah, and he was going to do very important things, very life-threatening things, very hard things, even as a young man. A prophet is one who speaks forth. Sometimes we hear that word prophet and we think, well, that's someone who tells the future. That's the Old Testament version of a fortune cookie. This is just someone who's predicting what's going to come. But that's not really what prophet means. If you break it down, the word pro means forth and phet means speak. So a prophet is someone who speaks forth. And in the Old Testament, it was maybe more proclaiming, speaking forth to the people than speaking things before they would happen. We get a lot of that, too. We get prophetic literature, apocalyptic things that were going to come in the future. But we also simply have prophets who are preachers, who do what our pastors do, who were the comprehensive form of ministry, where all the people needed God's word to be proclaimed. God would choose these prophets. In fact, they even had seminaries during the time of the divided kingdom. They had people following Elijah and people following Elisha. So these prophets really were people chosen out and called to proclaim God's word. And notice, not their word. The prophets weren't supposed to write novels and histories and come up with ideas and comparisons and pictures. No, instead, God takes his hand with Jeremiah and he puts it on his lips. And I'm not sure what that would have looked like. If God came almost as a visual embodiment, and this was something he was seeing, or sort of a phantom, or if it was another servant of the Lord, maybe another human being who came and was telling Jeremiah God's words and extending a human hand to his lips. We're not exactly sure, but we do know that it was not Jeremiah's own words he must rely on. It was God's word that he had put on his lips. And so the same thing is true for us. Not just our pastors, but all people, all believers, all who know God's promises, all who know God's law, the difference between right and wrong, and all who have a message of good news to share that Jesus has done it for us. And the temptation is out there to simply speak and to please people. St. Paul says, are we seeking the approval of men or of God? And I'm sure that was Jeremiah's temptation here. He was worried about how people were going to receive his message. Just like oftentimes you and I are worried about how our message is going to land. How people are going to take it. Will people like to hear that God loves life and our God is a God of life? Will people be upset if we say, no, it's not physical birth that confers personhood? But in fact, already in the womb is this a sinner. We know that from conception, people are sinners. Therefore, from conception, people are people. We also know that infants can believe. How from infancy, St. Paul said, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus said, let the little children come to him, when women were bringing not just children to him, but infants. The Greek word for it is little babies. And so over and over again, we understand that God is very conscious of the young and those who can't speak out for themselves. Even John the Baptist, people say, well, that's an exception. It was a miracle, because when he heard Jesus, he leapt in the womb. That doesn't always happen. Well, I had the privilege of taking my little baby to a performance of the Messiah here in Carmel. And this is a very dramatic instance. He did this at other times, but when it came to, for to us, a son is born, to us a child is given, guess what was going on? Little Theo was jumping in the womb. Yeah, God does miracles every time there's faith. And I'm not so sure what's so special about an adult that makes that a better believer than a baby or even an infant in the womb. But here's the thing, Christians. God has given us a greater purpose than simply to go around and tell people there's life in the womb and that's our main message, so feel guilty. Or this is a sin and I know it's a sin and that's the end of the story. Friends, we're called with a purpose just as Jeremiah was. To bring not just the law, to not just uproot and destroy and tear down, and we certainly need to do that with hard hearts, but also to build up, to plant, and to sow a seed and foster it. And that's the seed of God's good news. That maybe there are people out there who know they're guilty of what they've done. And maybe what they've done is murder in the womb. But when they understand that, are we just going to kick the dust off of our feet? Or are we going to be there at that point and be alongside of that person, that doctor, that woman, that confused person, person who's having a hard time, who carries a lot of guilt, and say, your sin is forgiven and it's gone? The Christian message is more than just life in the womb. If all abortions were made illegal in the USA, that would still not be the Christian message. The message persists to eternal life, that we proclaim, just as Jeremiah was called to do, the good news, that there is more beyond this world of death and sadness and darkness. And even though it tugs at our hearts when we know about death, when we feel death, and when we hurt with the hurting, when we weep with those who mourn, we are also there to provide a word of comfort. Not to bring more tears, but to dry tears. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came on the cross, not so that we could look at him and say, how sad it was that Jesus died. That would be like all the other gods of ancient times who died. It was supposed to be more of a tragedy. But for us, there's goodness in that Friday. There's beauty in that message. There's glory in his wounds. And there's triumph in his sufferings. That for even a weak, insignificant, many would say a young man like Jesus, there is a lot more on the other side. There's true resurrection. There's life eternal that starts on Easter. And there's good news for God to put on our lips too as he sends us out. So don't be afraid. God gave law and gospel ministry to Jeremiah. He's also given you law and gospel ministry to not just shout and not just scream and not just be upset, although our hearts are tugged. And we do hurt. But also to share the good news of the message of Jesus. Let me tell you about Melissa Odin. Melissa Odin was 14 years old when her mother told her that she was supposed to have been aborted. Back in those days, Melissa's a bit older now, but it was in the 70s, her mom was given a saline infusion abortion. It was injecting a toxic salt, and she was supposed to saturate in that for a time. And this was after 8 months, so pretty well along in the pregnancy. And the doctor actually thought it was a success. They were going to deliver Melissa, stillborn. But she survived. And she defied statistics, and that saline solution didn't work. And now you know what Melissa does? She's in videos, she goes and talks about this, she gets interviewed, and she shares the message of survival, of life, and of newness. And I think that's a good thing for us Christians to remember, that there's a message on the other side, that there's truth and there's hope, there's mercy and there's ministry. So let's get busy. Let's speak those words God's put on our mouths. Amen.